Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are introducing a new company to all of you. The company is called E2 Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ETU. Shad and I are chatting with the president and CEO, Eric Owens, as well as the vice president and co-founder, Ellie Owens. Now, to bring everybody up to speed, E2 Gold is focused in Northern Ontario at the Hawkins Project. Eric, I want to bring you in here first. Please take us through the overall strategy here. This is a new company. This is a relatively new project, at least to our audience. Take us through what attracted you to this Hawkins Project and the overall strategy.
Yes, thanks, Corey, for having us here today. So I've known about the Hawkins Project, which is located in central, north central Ontario, about halfway between Timmins and Hemlo. For about 10 years, I was busy doing other things, working on other projects, working on a prior company I owned, and was therefore busy and couldn't pay much attention to it. Fast forward to about 2019, I was looking to set up a new company. So I started back into searching for projects to do that with, that is for E2, what ultimately became E2 Gold. Called the guy who owned the property, person who owned the property. I said, that's a good property. So this could be something I can use to take the company public. After a bit of roundabout discussions and so forth, we managed to come to an agreement on the property so that by early 2020, 2 months before COVID hit, we signed an agreement for my private, then private company to use to take public and to option it off. So we managed to get through those early days of COVID and raise money and take E2 Gold public by the end of December of 2020. And then we raised $3 million, oversubscribed at that point in time, and that allowed us to get started drilling in February, about a month after we were public, basically, and trading on the venture exchange. So here we are today now working on our second drill program. And we like the project because it's got a small resource right at surface, 328,000 ounces of gold from about 0 meters depth to 150 meters depth over about 3.5 kilometers long. And there's much room to grow on this property.
So to kind of give a broader idea of the overall strategy, the strategy here is to look at this resource, this current resource, and either grow it to 3 million ounces with room to grow and sell it to a mining company, or find another target on the rest of our 80-kilometer long property package and similarly grow a resource to 3 million ounces with room to grow and send it on its way to a miner.
Well, Ellie, as you guys expand your phase two drill program from 5,000 meters to 10,000 meters and you're bringing on a second drill rig, just walk us through where you are as far as how many meters have been drilled thus far and what target you're looking at for the balance of the drill program.
So our original target was to do some sort of shallow step outs below the current resource. And as Eric pointed out, the resource is from 0 meters to about 150 meters at depth, which to give context to your listeners, that's very shallow. What we compare this to is a Hemlo lookalike, and Hemlo was mined out to 2 kilometers. So lots of room to grow there. So our original target was shallow step outs, 50 meter step outs below, and then along strike. But with the oversubscribed aspect of this financing we did in July, we were able to add two more targets. And one of those series of targets is what we're calling a deep drilling target. And so that is going to be more statistical in nature. We're going to drill 10 to 12 holes spaced 300 meters apart, targeting 500 meters depth. And the idea there is that, you know, we have a deposit, we have a known amount of gold, we know where the high grades are, but if we think this is going to be mineable, there does need to be that at-depth component. So let's really just see what's down there, and one or two of those holes should hit if something big is down there. The third series of targets is going to be a geophysical anomaly focus. It will actually be off of the McKinnon zone itself, just to the north of the McKinnon zone. So that's important because now we're starting to explore and drill areas outside of the McKinnon zone itself. So that's a good front for our exploration. In terms of what we've actually drilled, in this current phase, this current 10,000 meter phase of drilling, we've drilled about a third of it, a little over 3,000 meters. We've drilled five of those deep drilling holes, five of those 10 to 12. And this drilling program should take us to the end of the spring.
Okay, so we are still waiting for those drill results to come back. That will obviously tell a lot about what you're hitting, but overall, at the end of this 10,000 meters, do you think you'll be able to update the resource, or is this really just getting a handle on where you need to be following up some of the more high priority or even higher grade aspects of it?
Yeah, I would say, Corey, that we're not really looking to do a resource upgrade at this time. It's more your latter suggestion. We are looking to try and decide whether or not this deposit has a footprint that could mean that it could turn into something much larger than it already is. And so once we do that, if we're successful at this in this round, then that means we'll go back and start drilling in greater detail around the areas that we've been successful. And at that point, then that will be when we'll be heading towards a resource update.
Also, you guys, as you're guiding through this drill program, are going through an IP geophysics survey. So walk us through how that data is going to inform some of the future drilling. And has that already been completed, or are you doing it as you go?
What we've done, actually, we did an airborne magnetic survey on the central 15 kilometers of our property last fall, so a year ago. And that sort of showed that the McKinnon zone sits along a contact between a low and a moderate magnetic signal. And that contact trends pretty nicely east and west throughout that central 15 kilometers. So we'll be targeting that through step out drilling along strike of the zone. But we then reprocessed this data this summer using sort of removing the remnant magnetic signature from some of those from the airborne magnetic survey. And what we'll be doing with that is, from that reprocessing, we were able to see some sort of more interesting anomalies to the north of the McKinnon zone. And so those are some of those anomalies that we'll be targeting using last year's airborne magnetic survey. And then we will be taking the IP survey on this central 15 kilometers, which will be done in the winter. And we'll use that again to sort of figure out drill targets for our next drilling program.
And just to add quickly, briefly to that, we also have the old Falconbridge IP survey dating from the 1980s, which we have recently reprocessed and are reinterpreting. That data is perfectly fine, and it goes a little bit beyond where the known drilling has been done. So we know we have drill targets off to the east and west of our zone, just based on that data alone. The reprocessing should help us pinpoint things a bit better and help us compare that old data with the new data that we're generating with our new surveys.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask about the past data here, because this project had been worked on, but it had been worked on a few decades ago. So what is some of that past work that you guys have already used to target some of the drilling and that was used for that resource?
So the drilling that occurred for the resource was in the 1980s. It was Falconbridge drilling. It was about 80 holes. And so that's what the resource is based upon. And we were able to sort of resample it for this current resource, and because it's stored in sort of government warehouses in Sault Ste. Marie, and we were able to selectively sample enough of that core to update and bring this resource to compliance. And then, as Eric said, there has been this historic IP data that we've been able to use, and a few other government geophysical surveys. But for the most part, it's the 1980s Falconbridge drilling that's the basis for our knowledge of the resource.
Yeah. So there's surprisingly little other work. Now, there has been prospecting along with Falconbridge work. Small companies, and you know, 3 or 4 decades ago, were out there as well, and prior to that. And there was probably a bit of soil work done. That work is being in addition to the geophysics, but the modern geophysics has been really our focus. The soil work we're compiling now and trying to identify certain areas. They weren't large surveys. We've enlarged the property a substantial amount, and so these surveys only cover a real small part of that.
Well, as you guys move forward with your exploration program, could you walk us through what the budget is for the balance of the exploration program and what the company has in the treasury?
Yeah, so right now we have somewhere around $4.5 to $4.7 million in the bank. We raised 5.6 in July, which was oversubscribed. We also, the actual drilling part of our budget is it going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $2.5 to $3 million, probably $2.5 million, for which will take us through the wintertime drilling program until early spring. We have, of course, other expenditures out there, including corporate marketing as well as geophysics that we're doing. But the lion's share of the money is going to be going to the drilling.
Guys, let's also talk about share structure too, because share structure here outstanding, a little over 95 million shares on a fully diluted basis, a little bit more than 164 million shares. Let's talk about insider ownership and any other key shareholders. Please take us through what management owns and any other, again, large shareholders, please.
Okay, so insiders own about 15% of the share structure. And then we also have Crescat, who owns about 11%, a little over 11. They're a fund out of Denver. In total, funds hold about 27%. So that's pretty tightly held by insiders and funds. And that's generally the overview of the major shareholders, insiders being the board and management, of course, and the Owens family ourselves.
Let's also talk about the warrants, too, because that is a big jump from 95 million outstanding to 164 million fully diluted. Take us through what that warrant overhang might be in terms of price and any large tranches of warrants that we should be aware of here.
Sure. So from the IPO, there are about 2.7 million warrants at 28 cents for 2 years from the date of the IPO, which was December 2020. So that's December 2022. Then December 2023, 11 million warrants at 24 cents. And then from this last financing, 45.7 million warrants at 15 cents for 2 years. So that'll be 2023 as well, summer 2023.
It's worth noting that right now, some 47, 53 million of the 61 are in the money.
Well, just as we wrap up and, you know, give you the platform here to just share what you think the key catalyst you want investors focus on as we round out the year and as we move into next year, what are the key milestones the company is looking for, and what key news should everybody keep their eyes on?
Well, clearly the drill news is going to be important and critical by the end of the winter time, I would say. Where are we going? Have we done a proper job of evaluating? Obviously, we would all love to be able to say we hit the big one. These things are slow processes sometimes, but we're good. We're approaching this methodically, and we're trying to extract every ounce of information out of every activity we uncover. So we take special precaution to after we're done drilling, to resurvey holes downhole with geophysics and take photos, photos of the drill walls, where we are pre-processing all the geophysics. These are very methodical, and that's what methodical processes that we're doing here to give us a greater chance of finding the big one that is a sizable gold deposit. It's a large property. So are we doing the right thing? That's what I think people ought to have a takeaway here. We're doing as good a job as we can on a project that's in a well-known gold-bearing region along a major structure in between Timmins and Hemlo. And so drilling is important and critical. And are we extracting the proper information? And are we progressing down this path towards finding a bigger gold deposit than what we have right now?
All right, Eric, Ellie, appreciate this introduction here. Again, it is early on for E2 Gold. The drill program, again, only about a third of the way through, and we're still waiting on results. So we'll follow up on the back of initial results. And if anybody has any questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those answered for you. Eric, Ellie, appreciate this introduction. Please keep us up to date on future news.
Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Shad, for having us on today. It's great fun.